How does God preserve His Word? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's interesting episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I've got to tell you what's going on right now in Texas. We are currently doing our National Bible Conference, and maybe this year you weren't able to make it down to Coppell, Texas to join us in person, but that doesn't mean you have to miss out on the conference. You can find out how you can join in on the action by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events, and that'll help you to get involved in our current live stream. So don't miss a single moment. Well, let's jump right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
All right, we're taking your questions today. Here is a question from Jeff. Now, Jeff says he's been a supporter and follower since the 90s. Long time ago. That's like back when I was in high school.
Right.
And he said, I'm writing to ask you to clarify your position on preservation. Did God promise to perfectly preserve His Word in any manuscript of any type, in any language, so that you have the Word of God today? And then he has four sub-questions, but why don't you start off by, what is this question about?
What this question is about is the inerrancy of Scripture, the Scripture having no errors in it.
Right.
When we say the Scripture has no errors in it, we're talking about the original manuscripts, which are called the Autographa. So there are 66 books of the Bible, and all 66 books had an original manuscript.
Yeah.
And in none of the 66 books do we have that original manuscript. What we have are copies. Now, if you study the history of books, you will find that the Bible has the most manuscripts and the Bible has the best manuscripts of any ancient book. The writings of many of the ancient books.
Like Plato.
Like Plato and Aristotle.
Aristotle. We only have like a few
copies. Five or ten
copies.
Right?
Right. And they're late. They're from like 800 AD, 900 AD or
right.
later.
Now, in the case of the New Testament, let's take that.
And no one questions, by the way, Plato and Aristotle and,
right.
and the ancient kind of Roman historians. People just accept them for the most part that, yeah, these are accurate, even though it's like from 800 years later and there's only a handful of
exactly.
copies of these things.
Now, we know from the Dead Sea Scrolls and from Qumran, the Masoretic text of the Hebrew Bible is almost identical to what we find with earlier manuscripts. In other words, we have manuscripts from like 1000 AD, and when they're compared with Qumran, etc., they're almost identical. So those findings confirmed that the transmission, that's what it's called,
right.
of the text through copying was handled very carefully.
So the Masoretes were a group of Jewish scholars, and they compiled an Old Testament text.
Right.
And it's like something like the 9th or 10th century AD.
Correct.
Hundreds of years after all of these books would have been written.
Well, the Old Testament canon would have been closed, and by canon I mean the acceptable Old Testament, around 400 BC.
Right.
So this is 13 or 1400 years after the final manuscript would have been written.
Right.
Before there actually a Masoretic text that was finalized.
And so the question was, how could this Masoretic text from like the 9th century or 10th century, how accurate is it really? Well, then I think he was like a goat herder, a little boy,
right.
found a clay jar in the hills.
In a cave.
In
yeah.
a cave. And it turned out that these Qumran scrolls, and it turned out that these are the oldest copies of the Old Testament we have. And your point was, they were almost exactly the same as the Masoretic text.
Exactly.
From hundreds and hundreds, for almost 1,000 years later, it was almost perfectly the same, word for word.
Right. And so that strongly indicates that the transmission was accurate. Now, we have something similar in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have, there's different ways of counting manuscripts, but say 5,000 Greek manuscripts There's also translations into other languages that we have.
There's quotes from early Christian writers.
Oh, we could basically get the whole New Testament from the church fathers.
Yeah.
Because they're quoting. But let's just take the 5,000 manuscripts. Now, these are not 5,000 manuscripts of the entire New Testament. These manuscripts vary from the John Ryland papyri, which is just part of a few verses in John's gospel, up to some manuscripts that cover the whole New Testament.
Right.
But most of them are going to cover a portion of the New Testament. So these manuscripts might cover the writings of Paul, or they might cover the Gospels or whatever. And so for any given book in the New Testament, we have anywhere from a few hundred to maybe over 1,000 manuscripts. But that's a wealth of information that you don't find with other ancient books.
Right.
And when you compare these, you find out that the vast majority of manuscripts agree almost all the time. There's a small number of differences. Now, if you take all the manuscripts and add up all the differences, the number is something like 400,000.
400,000 differences, but that's not as scary as it sounds.
Because most of those differences are spelling differences.
Right.
And when you get down to actual differences that make a difference, the numbers are very small. And the same thing in the Old Testament. There's lots of that in the Old Testament as well. But most of the changes are small. And when I happen to believe in the majority text position, which means that the majority of manuscripts carry the correct reading, and they are extremely consistent when you're not following the critical text of basically all of A and B, that's a little technical. You can read articles on our website about it. So when Jeff asked this question about preservation, he's saying, is there some verse in the Bible that guarantees that God would preserve his word in every language? And the answer is no. There's no verse in the Bible that specifically says that. However, there are verses which strongly imply that God will preserve his word. There are lots of references to the fact that God's word is truth and God's word will never fail.
Let me try one. John chapter 10, it's really just an aside in verse 35. Someone charges Jesus with blasphemy, and they say, "And because you, being a man, make yourself to be God," and Jesus says, "Is it not written in your law? I said you are gods." If you called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and here's the parentheses, and the scriptures cannot be broken. I think that's some type of preservation promise there, that the scriptures will never be broken.
I think so. And you also have a couple of verses in Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, which are repeated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24.
Yeah.
Peter quotes this Isaiah passage, which says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Now, that doesn't specifically say that God is going to preserve his word forever, but it implies it.
Right. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And that's a reference to the actual, like let's say on the letter T, you have that line
right
across the T that makes it a T. Jesus is saying the jot or the tittle, as small a mark as that, will not pass away
right
until all is fulfilled. That to me is another promise of preservation. Now, it's not specifically a promise that you're always going to have a manuscript that is there forever. But it seems like God inspired men to write down manuscripts, and if he's going to preserve his word, we can expect that there's some type of preservation of
right
the word, right?
Right. And if you study the text, it's called textual criticism. What you find is a remarkable job that was done by the scribes to preserve the correct readings. In fact, oftentimes they will put in a reading they don't know how it makes sense,
right,
but they'll put it in. And sometimes they would have some notes in the margin to say what they thought it should be. But the truth is, there's clear evidence of divine preservation. And what God expects of us, I would suggest to Jeff, is that we are people who study the manuscripts so that we come up with the correct readings. And we have people who do that.
Right.
And that's why we have so many good English translations. Now, I prefer ones that are based in the majority text. like the New King James Version. The King James Version, I think it's the Modern English Version, is also based on that. Mm-hmm. And there's a few others that are based on the majority of manuscripts. But even the ones based on the critical text, for the most part, get it right. And the main areas they go wrong is their translation choices, for the most part. Sometimes they'll let their theology influence their translation.
Right.
And I would say that's true in other languages of the world as well, that they're getting a good job of preserving. But this is one of the issues that you get when the Bible translators go out around the world, because there are many people groups who don't have the Bible in their own language.
Right.
So the best they can do is have someone take another language and then translate that translation into their language orally until there's an actual written translation. There are people who are going out and doing that, and those people, God has to work through them to bring about a good result.
Right.
And it's not absolutely guaranteed, but it seems to me that's what God is doing.
Jeff has some quick, let's answer these very quickly, these
right.
follow-up questions.
Right.
So first, is it possible to have an inerrant translation in any language of the preserved autographs? So is it possible to have an inerrant translation?
No.
I mean, it's technically possible. God could do that. He's
right.
sovereign. But that's not what he's promised.
No, that's why it seems to me you need to be someone who's comparing translations if you don't know Greek or Hebrew.
Is there any extant Greek manuscript that is a perfect and inerrant copy of the autograph?
No.
See, I would say probably a lot of them are perfect copies of the autograph.
How's that?
Portions. Like you know, if you have a little scrap
sure.
of John, if you have a sentence in John, that's probably a perfect copy.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
But it's not going to be of the whole of the gospel.
No, no.
But yes, you have portions that are exactly right. And by the way, even on the earlier question, the vast majority of what we have is exactly word for word with the autographa in every English translation.
Right.
Of course, it's not the original language, so it can't be the same, but
right.
it's conveying the idea correctly.
Right. Well, thank you for the question, Jeff. We like to do easy questions. We like to do hard questions. This is definitely a technical question.
Right.
I hope we've made it understandable to you. If you have any follow-up questions, keep on sending them our way. We love hearing from you. Just send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not certain sins will bar us from being eternally saved. So you're going to want to join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.